are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Boy, oh boy, man, oh man, God, oh God, it's going to be one of the best years for video games ever, I'd say, because we just learned all of the crazy E3 news.
Yeah, I think, is today the last official day?
Yes.
Which is really just everyone taking a nap, trying to cram vitamin C in their body.
It's all those publishers and developers and press people who are as exhausted and just like, we're tired.
It's like all books, half off. just trying to get rid of their wares.
Yeah. But, you know, there were some exciting announcements, some kind of predictable types of things. But I think what I can glean from this is I think 2017 in particular is going to be one of the best years for games, like, ever. And it's certainly for this generation of consoles.
Yeah, I think this is – it takes about 2 years for a console to really get going, honestly. Mm-hmm. And 2017 is definitely proving that because both of the other consoles came out in 2015, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's all coming through, and I think we've already seen a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We've talked multiple times about how this first half of the year is, I think, one of the best first halves.
To make one correction, 2014 is when they came out. Around there. Yeah, it took them a little while, but now we're finally getting that nice glut of games. Yeah. Finally, overwhelming almost. But yes, welcome to We Are Error, OneOfUs.net's premier video game podcast. I am Christopher J. Herman,
and I'm your boy John Romo,
and we are joined by Travis. I'm not going to butcher your name.
You're not going to bother it.
Kilpakowski. Of Unapologetic Geek Out. Travis, thank you for being on today.
No, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to just kind of go over just our reactions in general of E3. And Travis, definitely want you to chime in with anything that you think is particularly interesting or something that maybe John and I like missed in terms of like the games that we want to talk about.
Sure.
Because you're a big video game guy, right?
Yeah, I love video games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do want to say that this is going to be all of this. There's no news and then a main topic. This is the only news.
I mean, this is the news at this point. So yeah.
But it's basically a gamer's religious holiday.
Yeah, at this point it is. I mean, it's like they're going to Mecca and they just want to see all these great games, and which there are a number of games I'm particularly excited about, and I'm hopeful that we'll get to learn more about them, you know, throughout the rest of 2017. But yeah, I guess if we should just like get right into it. The first conference of E3, even though technically they don't want to be associated with E3 anymore because they have the whole EA Play thing. Yeah. But they're basically the first conference.
I also have to speak on that when we get to Sony because I think that's kind of what's going on too.
But I think everyone's trying to do that except for Microsoft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I will say though, maybe before we get into EA, let's just kind of go around the table and talk about like what did we think of this year's E3 in general? You know, general thoughts. I mean, for myself, I thought it was solid. There were no really big surprises. I liked a number of the games that were showcased there, obviously, and I am excited to play them, particularly ones that are coming out in 2017. But I wasn't blown away, like, kind of from, like, last year's. Like, a number of, like, IPs that were kind of being remade to a certain extent or given, like, a reboot, like God of War. Like, again, we just kind of saw the stuff that we expected to see. So, I don't know. John, how do you
think? Yeah, I have to agree with that sentiment. I don't think there were many moments. There weren't shockers anywhere, which on one hand is kind of disappointing. I think you want to see those surprise trailers that basically what the Video Game Awards has become.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's why something like E3 really isn't the place anymore. But I think E3 came through in the fact that we saw a lot of good games.
Yes,
games we already knew about, but we got to see more of them. We've got some solid, more solid release dates. But that's why, and I don't want to proclaim a winner because sometimes I think that's a little cheeseball, but I was most pleased with Nintendo because it was short. It was right to the point, showed us why you need a Switch this year and what you have to look forward to in the next.
They did do a good job with that, particularly for one particular title. And also, I mean, for 2018, it's like they said that we're going to have at least two big marquee games along with some all additional, like smaller.
They showed that they care about every single one of their characters.
Exactly.
Which is what
they haven't really shown the past couple of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Travis, have you kind of been in touch with like E3 this year, or kind of seen any of the
I've been kind of hitting off and on because obviously we've come down to Austin. We've kind of been doing whole vacationing things. So I've been trying to hit it on and off as I go on. Mm-hmm. It almost seemed like it was getting better as the week went on.
Yeah.
Like the first start of it was like, E3's happening. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. But then as a Morgoth, I'm not that big of a Nintendo fan, but I would have to agree that they had the best showcase, like hands down.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll eventually get into Nintendo. But first, we're going to start with the EA. Mm-hmm. You know, the person we always feel sorry for. You know, the redheaded stepchild, if you will.
Hey.
No offense to all those redheaded
stepchildren. I take offense.
But, I mean, yeah, overall, I mean, this is what we kind of expect of EA. They're all about the sports. They're going to show off one indie game, and then probably they'll get to the thing that everyone is excited about, which is Star Wars Battlefront, of course. But the one game I do want to talk about first is their teaser, at least the teaser trailer for it, is BioWare's new IP, Anthem, which is this kind of third-person action role-playing game. They've described it as kind of this open world game where you, I guess, set in this kind of alien planet.
The Avatar planet.
Yeah, basically it is Avatar planet, where you can choose between like either a female character or male character. They do describe it as like kind of a shared game, basically an online multiplayer game, which I'm kind of like a cooperative multiplayer game, which I'm not really big on. Again, I'm all about BioWare just giving me that great single player experience. But the whole kind of thing that they're selling the game on, the fact is that you're in these Iron Man suits, which they've described as javelins, which again, that's probably one of the best parts of the footage that they've shown. Although that was at the Microsoft conference, and they made the mistake, I think, at the EA conference of just showing a quick teaser trailer, and we didn't really know what the hell the game was about. So I felt like their introduction to Anthem was a little sloppy until eventually Microsoft got into it with their conference.
No, I do have to go through and brag a little bit because I guessed this. This is the one thing I got right on the nose because, you know, I went and listened to the episode again. Both of us did guess that BioWare would show off this EP.
Yep.
But you thought they were going to do gameplay, which that makes sense. It makes sense if they didn't show the gameplay at Microsoft.
Yeah.
So I get more points. You gave yourself 0.66.
I got a plus 0.66 because I said that BioWare revealed a new IP, you know, the name of it, and also they would debut a trailer of some kind.
I'll give myself plus one because I just said trailer.
Mm.
But yeah, ultimately, I think everything you said, I could end with, like Destiny? Like Destiny?
That's the thing that bothers me. I mean, this could be... Well, here's the thing.
Except for the javelins. Then I would go, like Titanfall?
That makes it unique. Well, no, I mean, I guess so, but I like the fact that it seemed to be like an open world where, when they were showcasing. Well, here's the thing: when they were showcasing like how the suit kind of flies around the environment, I mean that's really freeing.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think BioWare is proven to be like they're great world builders, but they're not good at creating open worlds. I don't know. I kind of want to give them the benefit of the doubt because this is BioWare Edmonton and not BioWare Montreal. I really like what they showed, at least at the Microsoft conference. But kind of moving on from that, probably the second most interesting thing that showed there was a new game by the developers of, or at least the creative director, Joseph Ferris, who was the creative director behind Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, is A Way Out, which is this kind of prison, kind of escape co-op game, and where players control two different prisoners, Leo and Vincent, who, you know, are trying to obviously escape from prison, but also then escape from authorities when they're on the lam kind of thing. And even though I'm not big on multiplayer cooperative games, I really just liked how they showcased this game where even though like one player can kind of be doing something in the background, you know, in gameplay, another player can be like in a cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
So someone can be experiencing the story while another one is kind of influence it at the same time. I thought that was really unique.
I love this game that I'll never get to actually play.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to have the time to coordinate with someone else. Like, hey, let's play this couch co-op. Maybe online if one of my other friends gets it, but like, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact that the Brothers guy is coming back to do something like that because that was what was very unique about Brothers. I still love the little element of the game where the little brother is the, right analog stick.
Yes.
Because you're less comfortable moving that way. And it's like, that makes so much sense. This dude, I'm glad that EA took the time to showcase something like this.
Yeah.
Mainly because I get another full point because I just said it shows off a smaller title EP.
Yeah, you kicked ass with the EA session.
Yeah. So I'm very happy about that. But yeah, I'm excited for this idea. I'm glad someone is trying new things like this and that EA sees the value.
Yeah, I think there's obviously going to be an audience for this game.
Yeah.
It's just that for us in particular, I mean, we have such limited time to begin with that we're kind of often seeking a single player experience, yeah. something we can play by ourselves at our own pace. Whereas this, you'd have to rely on another person.
Yeah. Well, I'd almost guarantee then, if you're not going to be able to play this game, you probably watch us do a Let's Play of it then, because
yeah.
I can guarantee you Nick's going to want to do this.
It would, yeah, it would be perfect for your Let's Play stuff, mm-hmm. which everyone should check out, by the way.
Yes,
I really
should.
Enjoy those.
Yeah. I looked at this game, I'm like, it's Shawshank Redemption, the video game.
It Yay! Totally is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Dufresne crawled through 500 yards of shit, and it came out clean the other side.
I've never That's seen Shawshank.
You've never seen Shawshank Redemption?
Oh my god.
I was spoiled like the
I've
ending.
Seen, I've seen the,
he gets out.
I've seen the episode of Family Guy that makes fun
yeah.
of Shawshank.
Oh yeah, it's like, I'm not good with math. or whatever.
No, it's a fantastic movie, but yeah. this does look like a really fun game and a great way of storytelling yeah. that's very exciting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then of course, I mean the rest of the EA conference, they showcased their sports games, they brought up celebrities, which mm-hmm. no one wanted to see.
I do want to speak on that. I think
Go ahead.
It's very interesting that NBA Live is back. I think it's just good to have some competition, that they're trying something new like that. I have to say, you have to commend EA for not just making another sports game. They are trying to put stories in mm-hmm. each game. And you can, to varying degrees of success, I suppose. I haven't played the FIFA story, but it must be good enough to, like, bring the same character back.
Yeah.
And I think if you're gonna give people a reason to buy these games, other than updated roster and new graphics, because at this point, I don't think that matters as much.
Yeah.
I think EA going that extra mile and going, no, we'll put a story in there, shows a lot of something about the company, like maybe that they understand how to sell a game a little bit better. And I'm all for it. Also, they have Mashallah Ali in the Madden story.
Oh,
Cotton he's Ruff? Like Cotton? Oh, yeah, from yeah.
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage? Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Well, from, Reggie from House of Cards.
The one from is what I remember him from.
Yeah, I can never pronounce his name.
Academy Award winning Mashallah Ali.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. What was the phone call? Midnight? What was it?
Moonlight.
Moonlight.
You've never seen
yeah.
Moonlight?
Yeah, I have. I just forget the title. Very good film. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm just never going to play any of these games. But I do appreciate the fact that they're actually putting some effort into like crafting a story for a sports game. We don't see that like at all anymore.
Actually kind of reminds me of those old Tony Hawk skating games.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest. Because they actually shoehorn story into those, too.
Yeah.
To varying degrees.
Did the last one have a Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5?
Not sure.
I don't think
it was like an old school.
That game was a hot mess anyway. But of course, the thing that everyone's excited about is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I'm not actually.
Well, we can get into it. And what they showcase at the conference, I think, kind of fell flat in its face because they spent like 20 minutes showing off a multiplayer battle with some of the most cringiest kind of like back and forth dialogue between the guys like talking about the game and the person playing the game. And I hate that shit. And it's like, it was cool because they showed it was the Battle of Theed, or at least their version of Battle of Theed, where it's between like the from the prequel era, the droid army, the Confederacy of Independent Systems, CIS, and also the clone army, the Grand Army of the Republic. And I thought that was pretty cool, especially, you know, I'm no fan of the prequels, as I have said on many a podcast, but
who is?
I liked the way it looked. However, I felt that this was not the best way to showcase the game. What they probably should have done was showcase the single player, because that's something that they just haven't done yet. We've seen some trailers and some kind of cool cutscenes from it, but I think you could have led with that and people would have been more satisfied.
I think, okay, so I just don't care about this game because I don't care about Battlefront, the first one. I think that game was overpriced. I think it was a fourth of a real game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It looked great.
The sound was great.
Beautiful sound design. I'd rarely pinpoint that kind of thing. And I'm just like, you got everything right there. But I just, again, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan in the first place. Like, right. I like it enough. Mm-hmm. But I just can't find myself getting really invested in this. My group text with some of my friends are like, oh, Battlefront looks so cool. And they're trying to figure out what games they're going to get. And I'm like, if I'm going to get a sci-fi thing that's a multiplayer, I'll get Destiny with you guys and like let's actually go all in on it. But if I'm going to get a shooter, I'm tired of sci-fi shooters. Like Call of Duty's been doing that for so long. That's why I loved Battlefield so much, because it was simple. It was different. Yeah, it was different, and I'd want more of something like that. So I'll probably, when it comes time to get a multiplayer shooter, I'm going to get Call of Duty.
I've learned something about Call of Duty today. I can't wait to talk about it with you.
Okay. But yeah, to how it was all presented, they just really went in with like getting YouTube influencers and getting trying to get these personalities, yeah. but also not letting them be free and not letting them do what they want to do. It's corporations taking what people have loved and not understanding why it's loved. Mm-hmm. I will say the actress, the one who kind of like led off the whole Battlefront thing, I think she did a great job. She was a good presence up there. I don't remember her name, but she was awesome.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, maybe we'll see more of her. But again, not in such just an awkward setting.
Yeah.
I mean, Travis, you said you're not excited for Battlefront 2 at all.
See, the problem is that, like I said, the first game was like, well, this was like half. This was like barely half a game. It's kind of a fool me once type of thing.
Sure.
The games aren't bad. Like, but I feel just the same way that end with BioWare's IP, where I'm like, it reminds me too much of, you know, before The Taken King came out, where it's like, right. that's barely half a game. I just, anytime those games kind of come out where I'm like, not sure if the sequel is actually going to be a full game or not, yeah. I'm just like, I'm just going to hold back. I'm not even going to look into it until I know it's going to be playable for me as it is.
Now, one of the things I do want to bring up, though, with Battlefront 2 is that all DLC will be free.
Which I was like...
I actually didn't hear that, so...
Yeah, no, I heard that, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Because the last time they had the season pass for all the DLC was $50. Mm, yeah. And they got a lot of shit for it. I think deservedly so. That's... I mean, the fact that you're only $10 less expensive than the full price game, it's ridiculous, so... This is a great PR move for them.
Yeah, it's a great move, and I think if anything, it means, oh, I can wait until another year out and not feel like to get involved in all of the content I need to pay more money. I don't have to wait for a Game of the Year edition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at any point, I can buy it, and it's going to be the same game. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is kind of clear then also that they were listening to feedback,
yes,
which is something that is a good sign.
I have to say, like, I think EA did a good job in the terms of doing different things with their games. They are doing that, and I think there's still continuing support for Battlefield 1 in this year, too, which I think is really cool. They're adding, I don't think it was new story elements, but, like, new armies to take part of.
Yeah, the Battlefield 1 DLC that they showed, I thought it was cool. I thought it was weird because they showed it off like it was a single-player thing, but it's not.
Yeah, it's just like the armies.
Yeah, which is, like, that kind of disappointing, because that's what I would have kept playing Battlefield 1
if they did new stories. DLC. That would have been so cool, and also I would have guessed that as well, because that's what I did say.
Yeah. So, moving on from that, we go into the Bethesda conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, like, I was pretty good with this.
You got...
I understand Bethesda to a T, I'd say. And, of course, probably one of the most... The biggest and most surprising announcement to a lot of people was all of Bethesda's VR announcements, particularly for... We have Fallout 4 VR, which seems to be... You know, Fallout 4, just the game itself, will be a fully VR experience. Which I thought was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That has a release date of October 2017. Not a specific one, but it's going to come out within that month. And it's going to be available for the PC. It's going to be compatible with Vive as well. So I'm going to call it. Going to give myself a nice, big, fat, full point right there. And, of course, to top it all off, they also had another VR announcement with a Doom VFR. Which I don't know what VFR means. I looked that up.
Virtual fucking reality.
Is that what it is? Seriously?
I would assume so. I assume that's what it probably means.
Now, here's the thing that's interesting about this, is that it is not the same as Fallout 4 VR, where Doom VFR is a totally different Doom game. It's taking basically all the elements from the previous games, but it's a totally new campaign. And I think they described it as like a 4-hour experience, whereas the Doom from last year was like a...
So it's like the Arkham
12-hour experience.
It's the one that's like
yes,
the
exactly.
Thing. Okay,
yeah. But still, at the same time, it's just like this is what I've always been saying. If people want VR to, you know, developers and publishers want VR to be a thing, they have to push their big IPs with it. They need to create a game where it's like, okay, this is we're gonna do Fallout 4 VR, we're gonna do Skyrim VR, we're gonna do like you just need that big IP to do, and then people will start like, oh, then they're gonna be interested because you're not gonna sell these VR headsets. By with jobs simulator.
Shovelware.
Not even shovelware, but just these really kind of small experiences that complete in an hour. You need something big to get the attention of everyone, and then you're going to start selling.
You need the big showy light show to get people interested and to get them over there so that they can enjoy the job simulator. Because games like that, I think they're very unique and they're worthwhile experiences. But they're not going to sell.
No. You're not going to pay $400 for the, the PlayStation VR to play that.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pay $700 or $800 for an Oculus or some of these other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you need something big with it.
Can I get a couple points for the fact I said Doom will be there in some essence? And I did say there will be something that is like Arkham VR. I didn't put them together, but like that's like point one thing. Like point.
No,
point
you
one.
Can get plus 0.5.
Yeah.
I mean for myself,
you get a full
I get a
point
because nice,
you got
big,
you said
bad.
Fallout.
I get a big fat full point for that.
I got a full point for the Battlefront is the final thing and centerpiece of the show. I got that right there.
I got like a plus 0.5 for that. We'll go through the list later on off mic, and we'll come back and sit and figure out who won. But probably the next big announcement. Actually, Travis, I want to ask, are you at all interested in VR, or are these something that would make you want to buy a VR headset to play these games?
Not yet. Yeah. It's something that I think it is a good idea, and I do want them to push it, because, at first I was like, meh.
Yeah.
Because that's happened before with, like, the PlayStation Eye and various other ones like that. Right. The Wii tried to do that, too. Sure. Or just, like...
The gimmick.
Yeah, it was a gimmick, mm-hmm. and now it's seeming less and less like it's a gimmick and more that it's its own thing. So, as it goes on, I think it will become something that I will become interested in.
It's going to become something because it's not solely games.
Right.
It's not a games thing. Companies like Microsoft and Apple, they're working on technology like this. And if big guns like that can keep pushing forward and it becomes more consumer-friendly, that's when people like Sony or Microsoft can start making games.
Well, they're even doing this for, like, other companies. They're doing it for, like, construction work and, like, dental work, surgery, all this sort of stuff. It's amazing.
It might not have so many applications in entertainment, but actually in, like, job trains, stuff like that, like in business. I could definitely see that.
I think the full kind of games that we want are still two and a half years out.
Yeah, we'll still have some time with that. Mm-hmm. Probably next big announcement, which I think we both called this.
You called Prey. You said it was going to be
Prey. No, I said Prey or Dishonored 2.
Oh, I said Dishonored 2, though.
Okay, so we both get a full point for this. But yeah, we...
hold on.
No, I said Prey or Dishonored 2 DLC.
You're like covering all your bases with that, I guess? Yeah. Okay, sure.
But yes, the Dishonored 2 Death of the Outsider DLC was announced as a release date of September 15th. And it will star Megan Foster, who was the quest giver character from the main game. Again, I haven't played Dishonored 2, so I don't know too much about it. Apparently, like, a character that she saves in the trailer is from the DLC from the first game.
Yeah, one of them. Like that. Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's cool. Hmm. I always appreciate the aesthetic and the world of Dishonored. Like, it's really unique. I like how the characters look, but I'm just not a big fan of the gameplay itself.
I'm glad that Bethesda took the time, to rate their whole thing real quick. They took the time to showcase every single one of the franchises some way.
Yeah.
Except for Prey, but Prey just came out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, not enough time. But they did touch on everything in a certain way and tried to show it some love, and that's what they need to do if they want to keep warranting these press conferences.
Yeah. Travis, have you played the Dishonored series?
I played Dishonored 1. Okay. I really liked that game. My only problem was that it was too short.
Yeah.
So then when they're releasing Dishonored 2, I'm like, oh, yay. Haven't gotten around to playing yet. I heard it was a bit buggy on the PC, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to get it for the PS4 or not, so I held off for now. But hey, DLC coming with it, can't really go wrong then.
Might be best to, like, wait for that Game of the Year
collection. Yeah, that's
what everything's bundled into.
I'm kind of thinking now, too.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to extend the length of the original Dishonored, try to go for that achievement where you can't be seen, and you have to, and you can't kill the targets. You have to be killed, like, by an accident.
Yeah.
That'll extend that game by, like, another 20 hours.
It'd also make me never want to play it again.
Exactly. I think that was my mistake. That's how I approached the game. Because I was obsessed with achievements, John. You know this.
I'm glad I'm not.
Yeah. Many people should be. And then, of course, probably the two biggest announcements of the conference, starting with the first one, is that The Evil Within 2 was announced. However, I predicted that this game would come out in the spring of 2018. In fact, it's coming out on October 13th, 2017. And it takes place 3 years after the events of the original game, where you're still playing as Detective Sebastian Castellanos, and he's returning to, like, the STEM facility because he's looking for his daughter, Lily, who apparently, as we're led to believe, is actually dead. So for whatever reason, she's back, and again, it's probably going to go on all this trippy stuff. And I will say that I think The Evil Within 2 had a really great trailer, where even though it kind of a little bit mixes gameplay, it was mostly CGI, but I just appreciated, like, the fact that this game is going to be weird. And this is Shinji Mikami coming back to do this, guy who was the developer behind Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
So he understands this type of shit. And I'm actually glad the series is coming back, because I'm hopeful they can address some of the problems I had with the original game. So, but yeah, I really liked what I saw with this.
I just am not interested at all.
Really?
Maybe because The Evil Within was just a new IP that just went over my head.
It did. It was
like a 6 or 7, right? Those were what it was rated.
Usually? I think the problem with the game is that it was basically a spiritual successor to Resident Evil 4, but it was just that. And where it wasn't interesting in any way. Yeah.
It didn't differentiate itself.
The story is garbage. There's nothing interesting about that, but I like, again, the horror aesthetics work, the world, you know, the creatures that are in it, the world itself, the multiple worlds. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the game just had some problems because of its narrative and its characters were just terrible. But I'm hopeful that they can address that. And again, I think by making it a father-daughter story or a father-undead-daughter story, that could keep it unique. Travis, are you a favorite?
I should have never played the first one because I'll admit it right now, I'm actually horrible at any kind of horror game.
Oh, okay.
I'm one of those type of people that I'll psych myself out way more than the game ever will. Like, I've never actually myself played through all of Bioshock 1.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen it pretty much all done, but I've always...
But you can't physically make yourself do
that. I get to, like, Fort Frolic, and then I'm just like, no, I'm good now. Oh, wow. I can't. Okay. I've tried, like, on multiple occasions, and I think eventually Nick's gonna force me to do a let's play of that.
Yeah. You should definitely do that. That'd be really fun.
And just watch me go, yeah!
But yeah, other than Evil Within 2, my favorite announcement, I think, of the entire, like, E3 conference, in my opinion, just all the conference combined, was Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Mm-hmm. I've been eagerly anticipating this game since 2014. I'm really excited by the fact that BJ Blazkowicz is returning and that a number of the other characters from the previous game are returning. The whole pitch, for the game is that it takes place, I guess, several months after the events of the first game, and where the European cell that BJ was a part of has been kind of like slowly dismantled because the Nazis have been going after them, and now they're coming to America, which is also under Nazi occupation, to start a new revolution. And everything about this was really cool. They showcased the incredible gameplay, that arcadey gameplay that I'm a huge fan of. The really cool character moments, the humor, the amazing political commentary going on with this game. I mean, you have just like they showcase like a scene of like a Nazi talking to a Klansman and saying, "Have you been practicing your German?" It's just like, oh my God, this is so weird, but it's very relevant for the times that we're in right now. So I just loved everything about this, and I cannot wait to play it.
So I never played the first Wolfenstein, as we've talked about, and I need to. I really want to. I remember seeing a couple GIFs of this. It's like, there's a moment, I guess, when you're walking down a hallway and just shotgun, 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 shotgun.
It's amazing.
That's super cool.
Which has that moment in this trailer.
Yeah. And I remember hearing and reading that, like, this was getting pushed back. They were like, hey, what is with this racism towards white people? Like,
I was going to bring
like,
that up.
Alt-right
the
people.
The Nazis, yeah.
And it's kind of like, you're bad guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're just...
Yeah.
Not even sorry. Like, if any Nazi is listening to this, you're a fucking bad guy. You're the bad guy of the world. Like, mm-hmm. You're the one group of people that everyone agreed on. No, you are bad.
Yeah. Here's even the worst thing is that they're like, no, we're all right. We're not Nazis. And I'm like, fine, you're not Nazis. Whatever. You're still terrible people. And then we're showing a game literally killing Nazis. And they're like, wait a minute. We're like, you can't have both guys. Yeah. You can't not be Nazis.
They got triggered.
Yeah, they got triggered. Yeah. We can't have defending Nazis and not be a Nazi. Sorry.
That is so ridiculous, and I can't believe that a game about killing Nazis is controversial.
I know, right?
That doesn't make any sense. But the one I love how the trailer ends, though, because you have BJ's girlfriend in it who's like pregnant at this time, and she's just killing Nazis left and right. And you also have his buddy from World War II who's just taking acid and just tripping, and there's like a little animated lizard guy's like, come here, buddy. And it's like, it's actually like hand-drawn animated within the game.
It's
like, it's again, it just stands out. It's really creative, and it feels like they watch Inglourious Basterds and say, okay, we're going to take that, but we're going to ratchet
exactly
it up
what I felt
bit
like.
More. Yeah, so I cannot wait.
And I love the fact, I don't think Bethesda's going to shy away from what it is saying.
Oh, no. No.
But and I know we're not going to talk about it, but David Cage's Detroit.
Oh, is did I game? Not include that? We can talk about it.
No. I don't know much about it, but I do know stories are coming out now. I think actually today he denied that it means anything. That it's just about androids. Like, it has no political metaphor. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. And it's just like, cop out.
Like, yeah, just own your shit. That's the point of being a game developer, is to push things and, like,
he's done shit like this.
Tell your story. It's like, quit being a, like, I don't want to say the P word, but come being the P word.
Pansy. Being a
pansy.
Yeah.
Actually, pussy stands for pusillanimous, which means cowardly.
That's good. See, that was good. That's why you're here, Travis. Have you played? Did you say that you played?
I have not played the first one. I've wanted to for a while. It's on my list.
Super cheap. You can get it like
on I know. Well, they're doing like a big E3 sale. I think I get to my PlayStation.
That and the Old Blood are like $10.
Old Blood is also very good.
Okay.
Yeah. No. That's been on my want to play list for quite a while. And now with this new trailer coming for the second game, I'm just like, yes.
I just cannot wait. Again, it's probably my favorite game of the conference so far, or just in general. And then finally moving on from that, we go to
let's get to it.
Microsoft, mm-hmm. which, you know, this was, all eyes were on Microsoft for this thing. Because for a lot of reasons, because this is where they're going to premiere the Project Scorpio, their new console, which we now know is the Xbox One X. Ooh. And where, you guys, you got to get away from the One. That it's the... It's a terrible name. And now I'm already seeing memes and stuff. People online calling it the Xbox.
No, like Trace just sent me the meme I've been seeing. One Xbox, one Xbox box, one Xbox One, one Xbox One box, oh, one Xbox Jesus. One X, one Xbox One Xbox.
They should have just called it the Xbox Elite. Just call it that. Just I think this is the premier Xbox experience.
I think Scorpio is a great name.
Scorpio
is Why wouldn't they just
keep
that?
Some people were calling it. I think, yeah, just called Scorpio, where maybe you get away from the Xbox name, maybe because the brand's been a little tarnished because of how poorly the Xbox One was originally marketed and touted.
Yeah, that was the most baffling part, because I re-listened to our predictions episode, and none of us thought they were going to stay with the One. Like that. Yeah. Too, I don't even think about Xbox One as a brand.
No.
That's not the thing. Mm-hmm. I even thought the chances of them just, like, the idea of the Xbox was going to be something different.
Right.
And so, like, listening to that episode, we had large expectations for what Scorpio could have been. And I think Microsoft even touted that it was going to be this game-changing thing. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a PS4 Pro.
It is. I mean, and that's what's so disappointing about it, where they didn't give me a reason to buy this mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Never once. It's just like, guys, like, I'm the audience that you're talking to. I own an Xbox One. I play it more than my PlayStation 4. Granted, because I just was a Xbox 360 gamer for so long. That's the system all my friends
had. It just kind of what you start with is what
you
do.
Yeah, you carry over. I mean, I love both consoles, mm-hmm. but you just fucked up with that. And it's ridiculous. If you can't convince me, then you can't convince anybody.
I think it's the same problem. I don't think the PS4 Pro is doing spectacularly either.
No.
But that's okay, because Sony's in the lead. Yeah. Sony has a lot of
good
graces.
They have 60 million units in the wild.
And Sony has this thing that Microsoft doesn't, is the PSVR. And I think if someone tries to convince themselves, you know, hey, I do want to upgrade to a PS4 Pro, they can go, that works a little better if I want to do PSVR. What is the reason to go from an Xbox One to an Xbox One X? Unless you have a 4K TV, but even then, I don't think 4K really is as big as people think.
Not yet. Like, yeah. Maybe no. Later.
It's not as necessary.
No. I think this is actually just a long haul, because they're like, no, you know what we really need to go back to? Xbox being the acronym. Let's do that. That's all this is. Xbox One X. It spells out Xbox.
Yeah.
It's
pretty frustrating.
That's it. That's the only reason.
That's pretty good.
I mean, just to mention, I mean, it has 6 teraflops, guys.
No one knows what a teraflop is.
Well, it has 1 terabyte hard drive, which I think is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
For all the games I'm not going to buy.
And here's the thing. It's like the thing that is going to kill them the most is the fact that it costs $500. Mm-hmm. It's $499. My prediction was that the only way you're going to sell this is if it's $400. Yep. And they just didn't go forward with that. And it's just like, that's
both of us.
Why?
Both of us did say that, like, if this is $500, it's not going to work.
Yeah, how long do you think until they drop it?
When they sell nothing in the holiday. Like, I don't think it's going to sell many units during the holiday.
That's going to hurt.
I mean, we're going to find out, because it's going to be released on November 7th.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. And that's a very competitive month. And I don't think people are kind of looking for a new console at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
it's probably honestly going to be a Switch. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be a Switch. And that they have a reason to buy a Switch. Yeah. And we'll get into that soon. But one of the other things I really liked. Is that I didn't particularly like that, but the one thing I did like about the conference is that they doubled down on the Xbox One's backwards compatibility mm-hmm. by announcing that original Xbox games will be playable on the Xbox One at some period.
This is where I think Xbox has been beating Sony.
Yeah,
and it kind of in a sense was kind of rubbing Sony's face in the dirt, because this was a couple weeks after one of the Sony executives said he didn't understand backwards compatibility. He's like, and he's right, the numbers aren't there. Like, no one actually plays it mm-hmm. as often as you think. But it just kind of shows, like, it's not that hard. I don't think. Maybe in the case of the PS3 to PS4 because of the cell processor, mm-hmm. but PS2 to PS4 shouldn't be as hard.
Well, since they did that, they had that capability on the PS3 to have backwards compatibility, and then they just got rid of it in between versions of the PS3.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't get it, Sony. Like, I do. I want to play PS1 and PS2 games.
Yeah,
like,
I'll totally do.
I mean, well, granted, the PS3, let's face it, the original one was a bulky monstrosity that
I think my dad still has it in the closet.
Yeah, you know? It's a great paperweight. It really is.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it was my Naughty Dog machine, as I used to call it back in the day. But yeah, so I thought that was probably one of the better moments of Microsoft's conference. Then we started getting into more of the games at this point, where they finally revealed Crackdown 3 again after, what, 3 years? Like, which we haven't seen, I think, since Gamescom, which is ridiculous. Yep. Mm-hmm. But and I liked the trailer. I liked that they introduced Terry Crews, where it was also revealed that he will be a playable character in the game. Which I think that's fine.
That's fine.
It matches the tone of what that world is. Kind of Saint Rosie. Like, that's their approach. I think
Crackdown's going to be fun. I'm not going to pay $60 for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are going to be so many games in November.
I'll wait till it's 30 and
just... But it's launching November 7th, so clearly they're going to be showcasing that as one of the big Xbox One X games. So, okay. I mean, at this point, Microsoft is kind of hurting this year in terms of big
exclusives. And that's not going to fucking help. Yeah. Like, they're hurting on all fronts.
It's their AAA game. There are going to be some smaller games which we can actually get into.
So, hold on. Yeah. You just called Crackdown their AAA game. That is ridiculous. The franchise that started off as a... The only reason it sold, so you could play the beta for Halo.
Yes.
That's bonkers. Mm-hmm. Cuphead's cool, though.
Cuphead is cool, and that's finally coming out in September.
And that's not exclusive, right? That's all.
That is exclusive.
Wait, Cuphead's exclusive to
Xbox? PC and Xbox.
What?
Yeah.
Damn, I got to turn on my Xbox now.
Yeah. But so we're finally going to get that, and I'm cautiously optimistic about that game. Again, that art style...
It looks amazing.
...is amazing. Yeah, it's a classic 1930s Warner Brothers cartoon, and that's just... there's nothing like that. Hasn't been anything like that.
I expect the Animaniacs to run across the screen
at some point. Yeah, at this point. Yeah, I mean, I would love that. And they should have some of those voice actors.
I like to sing and shake my finger.
Oh, it's the Nintendo Owl.
It's Al Jolson. That's what
he's called. But that character was based on, or Nintendo based their owl Pokemon off of him.
Oh, did they?
A little bow tie.
Oh, okay.
And then probably the other game, which, again, this is not a triple A game in any stretch of the imagination, but it's from a franchise that was popular, particularly on the Xbox 360 generation. And then, of course, they made a port of it for the Xbox One. But it is State of Decay 2, which, again, is their kind of open-world zombie game where it's not about combat. It's more about, like, survival.
Free running.
Yeah, that and also building kind of your base and your resources. And, I mean, that's a subgenre within kind of the video game genre, the zombie subgenre. And that's like, it makes you're not supposed to fight zombies. You're just supposed to survive in that world.
You just remind me something that's really big. Oh, to speak on this though, zombies and pirates, I don't care. But anyway, you forgot to announce that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is coming to Xbox One. That's huge. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big move. Like, I thought, ooh, I got to get Xbox Live now.
Yeah.
Like, I've been wanting to play PUBG. So many people are playing it on PC. It's one of those games and one of those moments where I'm kind of like, I just need a gaming PC.
Yeah.
And then it made me think, why do I need an Xbox? Why don't I just have a PlayStation for, like, the big AAA console games, Switch, because Nintendo's great. I can't believe I said that. Yeah. And a PC for everything I would have played on Xbox.
Well, because your Xbox One doesn't crash as much as a PC does, because it absolutely
but
does. Especially if you're playing a multiplayer game.
I could edit video on a PC.
Very true.
So there
can't do that on Xbox. Nope. You can do Xbox, record that if you have your Kinect plugged in.
Okay. Woo!
Mm-hmm. By the way, Kinect was not mentioned once at this conference.
Because that thing is dead.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But Skyrim, unfortunately, still is.
Because that's the thing of Skyrim. That game just keeps coming back.
It's a cockroach.
It was released in 2011. Guys, like, I was a big fan of Skyrim. Loved that game. Mm. Played all the DLC. I was a vampire. Then I was a werewolf. Then I murdered everybody. And I just collected all their bodies, put them in my house. Great time. But at this time, it's like, guys, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point.
I have it on the PS4 and have not beaten it.
Ever. The new, the ultimate.
Collection. Like, I gotta say, I have both Skyrim and Fallout 4. I have not played either one of them.
I honestly don't blame you. I mean,
it's a commitment.
It is.
Oh, and it's on my 100 hour. It's actually on my one, and that's why.
Oh, okay. So they're both on your one.
They're both on my one. That's why I haven't.
No,
they're worth playing.
Fallout 4, I think, has a lot of issues. I mean, Skyrim obviously has issues because what Bethesda game doesn't?
Sure.
But Skyrim is fun to play. I feel like Fallout kind of fell flat, like, after a while.
I think that people just had meteorical, like, expectations for Fallout 4. People were expecting, like, something, like, incredible, game-changing. And where Fallout 4 was just an upgrade of Fallout 3. Like, it was a graphical upgrade. It had a lot of the same problems that Fallout 3 had.
Right, but the thing is that New Vegas is in between those two games.
Yeah, well, New Vegas sucks because it's Obsidian. And I stand by it. Are you a fan of New Vegas?
I actually like New Vegas.
I think New Vegas.
It's actually the only good thing that Obsidian's ever produced, in my opinion.
I mean, I South Park, Stick of Truth.
Okay, I was forget about that game. Thank you. Yeah. You have a point.
But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like I'll eventually go back to Skyrim, but I think that for whatever reason, like Bethesda's constantly just pushing that on everyone, including VR. Did they showcase at the Sony conference?
Yeah. Did they show? Did they show Skyrim, the Legend of Zelda there? Or was that in Nintendo?
That was at the Nintendo conference.
It showed up at two conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking
2017. And we don't know when Skyrim's coming to the Switch. Mm. They have yet to announce that. It's just sometime.
I mean, that'll be impressive.
Did you kill that fly? Did you kill that fly finally, John?
I don't know.
There's been a little flute fly that I've named Jeff Goldblum.
It's a gnat.
Who has just been, like, attacking us this entire time.
I'll get him.
Hopefully he's dead at this point. He's been buzzing around our faces. But after the Bethesda conference, there was the PC gaming show in between that and the Ubisoft conference. I don't have much to say about that.
You didn't even write it down. So
I didn't. But I will say they did show off the Call of Cthulhu trailer.
I did see that one.
Yeah. Now, I like that because it's taken a lot from kind of Amnesia and maybe like a certain extent like Outlast. Like it's a total like horror game where there's no combat involved. It's just you kind of progressing through the level, trying to avoid all these things, going insane. Really cool imagery. I mean, Lovecraft in that kind of thing. I think it's coming out later this year, which I'm pretty excited about. I mean, you guys have anything to add to the Call of Cthulhu trailer?
No,
you seem to be excited about it.
I did see the trailer. It does seem fun. I kind of like gothic horror a lot, that always seems fun to me. The trailer did seem kind of generic, though.
I can understand. It feels derivative of a few games that we've already... Again, Amnesia, because they even have, like, the lantern, which is, like, that's directly from Amnesia. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, maybe you can do something different with it. But having actually played Outlast 2, or tried to play Outlast 2, and been very disappointed by that game, which I don't know if you, John, I haven't
played it yet.
You don't need to play it. I guess I can do like just a one person review for that. You can just pose questions to me, but that game was very disappointing.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that Call of Cthulhu will give me that kind of true first person survival horror experience that Outlast 2 just did not deliver.
Was Gwent at the PC Gaming Show?
No, Gwent was at Bethesda. I just didn't talk about that because I didn't feel like...
Oh, I get half a point. It showed up.
Oh, did you mention that?
I said it shows up somewhere.
Do you like those card games, kind of like Hearthstone and Gwent, Travis?
I played Hearthstone. Yeah. It's okay.
Wait, why did Gwent show up at Bethesda?
Or no, was that... Wait a minute.
The Witcher?
Or was I... Maybe I'm confusing the conferences again.
Oh, okay. It wouldn't show up anywhere else.
No, you're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot what conference that's at.
I guess
you got it for something. Okay. It was definitely there. You're absolutely right. I really don't remember.
And I do want to speak on while we're talking about the conferences that don't matter at all. The Devolver Digital one, they actually did something fun with it where it was like 15 minutes long. It was like a theatrical thing. Like it wasn't really a press conference. It was like the audience, I think, was also like plants of people. People's head exploded on stage from like a game. One of the game showcase was you like to pay for DLC. You throw money at the screen and the screen absorbs it.
That's really fun.
And so like Devolver Digital, who does weird games like Enter the Gungeon and Hotline
Miami?
Have
you talked about that game before?
Enter the Gungeon?
Yeah, have you talked about that game before?
No, I don't think I've ever brought up. No. But actually, I think Enter the Gungeon.
It's a joke because he always brings it.
Trust me, I know that's already.
I think Enter the Gungeon's, Game of the Year for 2017.
What is it? DLC that's going to be absorbed?
Dude, if it comes out on Switch, it's a free game.
That'd be a perfect platform for it.
Actually. It is. I'll rebuy it. Goaty.
Yeah, back to the more important conference. I have yet to watch the Devolver Digital conference, but from what you describe, I think that's fun. They're having fun. They're not mocking the industry, but just, playing around.
They're poking fun at it.
Yeah.
People on their high horse. About
Exactly. But then, we finally move into the Ubisoft conference, and of course, the first big game, which, man, Ubisoft, they can never keep a secret. All these games were leaked for the most extent, except for the exception, I think, of one big one.
That's why I think Ubisoft's was the most boring.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I know.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, for whatever reason, they like to let their people talk for a long time. Mm. And I think that's a mistake, whereas a lot of conferences are starting to move away from that, particularly with like Sony and Nintendo.
Yeah, I think only... one guy was the only one who showed up at the PS4 one.
Yeah, exactly. I always forget his name.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, the first game they showcased was the Mario Gotcha. Horrible title, by the way. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Yeah.
That game's going to release this summer, August 29, 2017. It's described as a role-playing video game which features turn-based combat, kind of similar to XCOM.
Yeah, which is bonkers. Like, why?
It's very weird. And yeah, it features 8 playable characters, Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and Yoshi, and 4 Rabbids dressed as all those characters.
I'm really surprised that Ubisoft hasn't made Rabbids like the Minions, where there are like 3 or 4.
Oh, they tried.
Where there are 3 or 4 that have names.
Yeah, give them a personality. Yeah. Like, this is the,
make them stand
this is
out.
Grumpy one, this it, is the sad one.
Makes it a little more marketable. Then.
Yeah, because yeah. I think in Despicable Me 3, the 3 minions from yes. the Minions movie aren't yeah. in it, but there's a bad minion somewhere in there kind of like comes up to be a role. So like, it's kind of interesting that but Ubi hasn't done that with the Rabbids. I could see easily one is named Bob and he likes bananas.
Yeah, I mean, of course you had like Miyamoto come out and just acting crazy the entire time with I forget the guy's first name, but Ansel from Ubisoft, and they're like firing these guns or whatever you're pretending to. The thing is about the game itself is that I just don't know who this is for.
It's a good question, actually.
Yeah, it's
Mario
it's,
fans. Deep Mario.
Is it?
It's. The, it's for 30
turn-based combat.
Like, it's for 30-year-old men who still love Mario so much that work in the games industry that also love XCOM, and we'll put those two together.
That's a niche in the
that
niche.
That is super like deep cut there.
Those are yeah. also people I follow on Twitter. So like, oh, I saw a lot so of love. I saw really a lot of love for this. I'm excited for it too.
As long as there's a market,
because one, it having Mario, you know that it has some sort of sticker of quality.
No, yeah.
And it's a new franchise that Nintendo is trying. Like,
yeah, Ubisoft is trying.
If it works, it shows that Nintendo is going okay.
Yeah,
let's try new sort of games. It's on the Switch.
Here's the thing. I do appreciate that, and they need to play around with different genres.
Well, it's also letting someone else touch Mario. Like,
yeah, and Nintendo's thing. Been doing that a lot lately. He's been touching Mario in all sorts of places at this point, you know.
Well, I mean, we all touch and tap on our phones with them all the time.
Okay, we can't forget that the DS's original slogan was touching is good, right? Like,
was that their slogan?
Yeah, that was the original slogan for the DS, touching is good.
They probably had, like, that was not translated well from Japanese, and it's like, oh, that's unfortunate. But I mean, I do like the fact that Nintendo is playing around with different gameplay mechanics, different genres. They need to do that to keep these games like, you know, fresh. But at the same time, I just hate the fact that they're just ramming the rabbits down our throat. People don't like these characters, and Ubisoft has just been trying to make them the thing.
Bad characters, yeah.
Video games, motion control video games, particularly during like the whole. Sony Move and Kinect era, and also an animated series on Nickelodeon just fell apart. Well, so it's very weird that they keep going forward with these characters. But I mean, we'll see. It's coming out again very soon.
It's coming out whether we want to or not.
Yeah, exactly. Then kind of moving on from that, we have another kind of showcase for Far Cry 5.
That's cool. Whatever. It comes out February 27th, 2018.
They showed kind of like a particular gameplay segment how you're. Companion characters interact with the world.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, but, well, like, they did actually reveal something that I don't know if it's mentioned before, but it is co-op.
I mean,
yeah, the campaign is full co-op.
Well, I mean, they mentioned that when it was first announced.
Yeah. I guess I did miss that part.
And I mean, like, that's cool, and I sound down on it, but it's just kind of like nothing about the game was revealed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they showed is stuff we already seen before. Yeah, the exception is just the companion characters you're able to control them and like, put them in watchtowers and stuff. Like, it's like, okay, fine. I'm really excited about the game.
No, me too.
And then Skull and Bones, which is the game they managed to keep secret, although it's been rumored that Ubisoft is working on a Pirates game after Black Flag, and we finally have that revealed, where it's a multiplayer tactical action-adventure game, and where players can control a customizable pirate captain, and they can kind of sail around the Indian Ocean, and they can engage in like a naval warfare. Again, you know, engaging enemy ships, upgrading themselves, their crew, the ship itself. And I'm just not particularly interested in that. This is Ubisoft just doubling down. Like, they always want the live experience.
Yeah.
It's all about that. And it's like, I just want a single player experience with Ubisoft. And there's very few games from them, with the exception of like their established franchises, which are remaining. Single player for the most part, but like all their new franchises are always about that multiplayer. At this point, I'm like, all right, this is just a game I'm going to skip because I don't have the time to invest in another multiplayer game.
I said earlier, if it's about zombies or pirates, I just don't care. So like, yeah. I just don't.
A lot of pirate games, you're right about that.
Yeah, and I just don't care.
See, I'm interested in the Sea of Thieves game, but this one just seemed meh to me.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves, I mean, we still just know so little about it at this point, but I am interested because it is Rare. And, you know, even though they haven't made a
you're just rooting for time, Rare.
I want them to be successful. Yeah. Well, but, you know.
I wasn't too up on it until I saw, like, the gameplay, actual playthrough. I'm like, okay, I could see where this is going.
Yeah. I get that. And then, yeah, the game that they talked about next, which was, you know, they tried to hide for months, but it's like, it was revealed months ago. It was, of course, Assassin's Creed Origins, because that is the actual title. Coming out October 27, 2017. Story set in Egypt, as it was leaked out. You're playing an assassin called Bayek. Again, he's fighting the Templars and protecting his people and all that. And there's going to be the whole Pieces of Eden, all that garbage. I will say, because I'm not interested in the story itself, but I love the way the world looks. Mm-hmm. And the gameplay demo that they showed was really cool.
He's got a bird.
Yeah, this is the first time I think that the eagle in Assassin's Creed is controllable. And again, he can spot enemies. Mm-hmm. I think that's a cool little
mark mechanic. Them almost.
Yeah, exactly. I also just kind of liked how they seem to be melding wildlife with, like, the towns itself, which I think is cool, like the urban areas, where those have always been kind of separate in the Assassin's Creed games. But I kind of like that, okay, this is a... I think they describe it as, like, the largest open world in Assassin's Creed. I think that's cool. And, again, it's a different type of setting, because we've never really been in a desert... Well, we haven't been in a desert environment since the original Assassin's Creed, although years ago. So
yeah.
I think it looks good.
I'm glad Ubisoft is trying something different.
Yeah, they need to.
It feels very different from the others. Mm. Even the gameplay is taking more elements from Arkham with the whole dodge mechanic. And
combat
stuff like
seems
that.
Improved.
Seeing that, I was just like, that's what I've been waiting for, a good combat mechanic in these games. And also, they added numbers to the weapons, so I get that RPG fix.
Yeah, no, it did look more RPG-ish.
It reminded me of Zelda, because you get to pick up, like, enemy weapons and stuff like that and then use them. And I think, okay, that's pretty cool.
Hmm.
I thought that was really unique for Assassin's Creed, because previously, like, even if you pick up an enemy weapon, you would drop it eventually, yeah. So...
No, I usually don't play these games. I've only played actually the first one and half of the second one. I feel the same way about these I do about, like, Grand Theft Auto games. Like, yeah, they're fun to play around in and kind of dick around, and I just don't have time to get every single place in this game.
I would say that, I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 is kind of, I mean, it's probably one of the best entries in the franchise. That and Brotherhood, which is the sequel, part of the Ezio trilogy, was very good. I would actually encourage you to check out Black Flag, because it's the most different. John and I kind of disagree in terms of, like, the character and the story of that game. But I think you might like Assassin's Creed Black Flag, because it is the least Assassin's Creed-y of all the games.
Nick's actually been playing that game a lot. He's been loving it, but he agrees that the character's a dick.
No, that's why I love him for that.
That's fair.
He's a pirate.
You know what's
he's
funny, though? Assassin. What's funny, though, is I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about Syndicate, actually. Like, late in the game. I think Allegra Frank from Polygon was talking about how good the characterization is. It has a strong female character. But again, I think I told you this a couple days ago, Travis, that Horizon Zero Dawn scratched the itch that Assassin's Creed normally does. True. And because of Horizon, I don't think I'm as jazzed for Origins as I normally would be at this point. Because I love this franchise. I love this gameplay.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, I was sick of the Assassin's Creed franchise. Like, Black Flag is the one I really, like, the last one I really liked. And after that, I'm like, I don't care about any of these other games. But I think this one looks different enough for, like, I want to check it out.
Yeah, but it also comes out the same day as Wolfenstein Mario.
That's what I was going to bring up, is that October is just such a packed month. Mm. It's going to be a game I'm probably, that's not going to be the one I'm going to pick up in October. It's going to be Wolfenstein. So all these other games are just going to have to
wait. I'm going
to
pick up Mario.
So, oh, yeah, honestly, yeah, very true. Well, I still have the Switch, so.
You give it back to me by then. Oh,
okay. There's a countdown now.
Gotta get those arms.
Hopefully I'll...
Arms action.
Oh, yeah, that. I can't wait to play that. And then probably the last...
It's gotten good reviews. No, we're not going to move on. Arms has gotten good reviews so far.
I'd say anything negative.
It got an 8 at Polygon.
I'd say anything negative.
I'm just saying.
I'm just like, okay, it's not a game that I'm particularly interested
That's
in.
That's fair.
But then, of course, the last big announcement of the conference was Beyond Good and Evil 2, which I called.
You did.
Even after they said it wasn't going to be there, we're not going to have Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm like, no, you guys are going to show it. My disappointment with it, though, is it was just a CGI trailer.
Yeah.
No gameplay.
So what we saw and 3 years ago?
What we saw, 2008.
Is that when we saw them, like, fixing a car?
And then they had that leak, and then there was that leaked footage from 2009 of Jade. Going to this kind of, like, African town or whatever, town in the Middle East or something like that. Now, the thing about this game is that it doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
They've already described it where it's like, oh, we need fan support for this game. And it's like, oh, you're doing that whole Shenmue 3 crap, where it's like, they're waiting to see what the reaction will be to this particular
Which
trailer.
Is fair. I think that's fair.
That's fine, because The Last Beyond Good and Evil, yeah, it's a well-appreciated game. It's a cult classic, if you will, but it didn't sell well at all. You know, it bombed commercially, but it grew over time. I think Ubisoft recognized that, but I think it's just at this point, it's too late. And the fact that we just haven't seen any gameplay for it, and they described it where it's not technically it's a sequel, but it's really not. It's a prequel. It takes place decades before the events of the original game, where you're playing as, well, not even these two characters that showcase in the trailer, but you actually, I think they described it where it's an RPG where you create your own character and then you can travel around this galaxy. So it's like very different from the original game, which was kind of like a platforming action game. But again, we just haven't seen any gameplay from it, and we don't even know that could possibly change. And we're not going to see this game, I think, until like 2020.
We're going to see Final Fantasy VII before this.
I think around the same time we'll see Final Fantasy VII.
That'll be crazy.
Yeah.
But Kingdom Hearts 3 is still not going to be available.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we want to talk about that briefly. Dude, I mean, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, to go into Sony, I was right. I told you we were going to see some trailer.
Was that at the Sony conference?
It wasn't at the Sony conference. No, I guess it would be there, but it came out the day before. It was, like the day before
Square Enix released
showed a trailer, and I didn't need to watch E3 after that.
I thought the game looks... I mean, again, I'm not a big Kingdom Hearts fan, ever was, but the game does look beautiful.
Have you played the two games? The five games?
I played, like, the eight original. I don't play any of those nonsense games. Dream Drop Distance and 2.85, you know...
Recoded.
Death of Sleep or whatever. No, it's RRE... colon coded.
There, okay.
It's like an email.
But I know, but look, I people love that franchise. I get it.
Except for the thing is that even people who love it can agree it's trash.
I'm not going to describe it as trash. I haven't played enough of the games.
Okay, I love it. I'll describe it as trash.
I don't think it's trash.
For myself, I just like, I was never invested in those things. But I can appreciate the fact that they managed to blend Final Fantasy with 90s Disney characters really well. It's like, I never thought that was possible.
No.
Right? Like, you think about that, it's like, that sounds crazy, but it worked. The Beyond Good and Evil, I just don't expect that game to come out for, if it ever does, until like 2020.
Yeah.
And then kind of moving on to the second to last conference of E3 was, of course, Sony. And they kind of started right off the bat with, I have to admit, like, Sony's conferences, I think, for the last couple of years have been very good. I think that in retrospect, I'm a little more critical of them because they've always shown games that they said are going to come out, you know, that year, but they're consistently delayed, or they just don't give a release date. However, I like that they kind of opened up with this really cool kind of like Indian, I kind of like, I don't know, like music or band or whatever. And again, that was to showcase Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, which they had a trailer for. Our second game is coming out August 22nd, 2017. And this is the first time actually we see the villain of the game, Asav, who is described as someone who's participating in this conflict within India, and I think Pakistan as well. But he's also pursuing this artifact that both Chloe Frazier, who of course is a recurring character in the games from Uncharted 2 and 3, and also Nadine Ross, who is one of the secondary antagonists in 4, they're both going after this thing together. And it looks good. I'm very excited to play it. It's definitely going to be probably the game I'm going to pick up in August, and it's only $40.
So. Yeah, this is one of those games where I already know I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm already going to buy it, so like I don't really care to see anything. I'd rather just like I'd rather just leave me alone. You already got my money.
Yeah. Travis, are you a fan of the Uncharted series?
Honestly, I've never played them.
Get out of
really?
Here.
Really?
And I actually own the first three because I actually got those. That was the bundled PS4 I got.
You should definitely play them.
I don't know. I've been told that by pretty much everybody.
No, not I don't know. You have to play them.
I mean, the thing is with
they're
one,
so good.
The thing I'll say of one though is that it is dated, you know. But like two is like that's still a game that holds up to this.
That always kind of seems excellent. Like. I have time to watch play games. I have time to watch movies, and this one just seems that
you drew in both of Uncharted. It's a movie and a game, man.
Yeah,
it's so cinematic. It is a modern day Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They nailed it.
Yeah, and I don't like those movies. I don't watch Indiana Jones. All
right, well, we'll move on.
I'm gonna be picked out soon.
And then another thing I think that was kind of expected and makes sense was that we also got Horizon DLC. It's called The Frozen Wilds. It's going to release sometime in 2017. They didn't give a specific release date. I imagine it's going to be sometime, probably makes sense for maybe even December, you know?
Again, yeah, because
it's snow and all that. But yeah, you're gonna get like a new story, new characters, new quests, and a totally new explorable area for that game. Yeah, I mean, again, Horizon Zero Dawn is one of my favorite games of this year, and I don't currently have the game. Chris Cox currently has the game, but when I eventually get it back, I would like to play the DLC.
Yeah, I actually think Horizon is my favorite game this year.
Yeah. Hmm.
Just because, like, I like Zelda. I like it a lot. And I was telling you, Travis, it's just too big for me.
Too much.
It's too big, and you have to figure things out. And I understand why that would be someone's favorite game. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the time to do it. Like, I'll waste 3 hours just trying to find a new recipe. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's fun and everything. That's super cool. But it's not digestible, and it doesn't fit my lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch this trailer just the fact that Nick and I started playing that one as a Let's Play. Again, Right. Shameless plug for our YouTube channel. And then we got interrupted by another game because we had to play it because of certain people. So we stopped to play Mass Effect Andromeda instead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You should be.
Yeah.
We have been so busy since then that we have not gotten any Let's Plays done since then. And we're just like, why are we playing this? Why can't we go play? Why are we playing Andromeda? We could go back and play this game instead.
You can stop playing Andromeda and go back to Horizon Zero Dawn. That is an obviously superior game in every facet.
So I just didn't watch this trailer because I'm like, just in case it spoils something for the main game, I'm just like, nah, I'm good. I'll wait. I haven't beaten the main game yet.
No, what the trailer shows, they don't spoil anything.
I didn't think it would.
It's just like, you're in a new location. Mm. That's it. And then the next game that was showcased at the conference was Days Gone, and where I thought that Days Gone last year is probably the game that I was least interested in because again it was the whole zombie thing, but I like that they showed a better vertical slice in my opinion, where they had the character who is I think is Deacon St. John, voiced in mocap by Sam Witwer. He's been a bunch of stuff. He's the voice of Darth Maul and Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, and he's in Battlestar Galactica. They showed him like interacting with more human characters in this. They kind of showcase a little bit more of the world, kind of what society is at this point. Not only the zombies, although they don't call them zombies, they call them freakers, and they're technically not undead. They're just basically savage. They're like they've gone savage.
Freakers.
Whatever. Freakers.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a great name. But I did like what they showed. And I like that we have a zombie bear in the game, which is unique.
We do have a zombie
bear. You have a zombie bear.
It's just a zombie bear. Come on.
Now, other than the demo that they showed, it was revealed after the conference that, in fact, that missions will change dramatically based on the dynamic weather system that is in the game. Hmm. So stuff that happened in the demo apparently plays out differently if it's raining or snowing.
They should really show that.
So I think that's pretty unique. They probably should have, but at the same time, you know, you got to keep the conference moving. But I think that's pretty unique. Again, I thought this was a much better showcase for the game. There's no release date for it. But, you know, at this point, I just think that they're doing the right things for this game at this point.
So, zombies.
Freakers.
Freakers.
Yeah, still not into it. Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Travis, do you have anything? Have you seen stuff for this game?
I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
I saw the Zombear.
Yeah.
It looked pretty generic overall.
Yeah.
It didn't look anything really unique.
This is going to be the game where I'm not going to be interested until it starts getting 8s and 9s.
If it doesn't,
I won't care.
Yeah.
And that weather system does sound interesting. I wish they would have at least mentioned that or showcased it in some form.
Shown it. And I think it's just hard because Sony has already had like a big zombie or, you know, zombie-esque franchise with The Last of Us, mm-hmm. similar to it's post-apocalyptic.
Right.
And so it's like, this is going to be hard. This is Sony Bend, the studio who's been working on this for years. A long, very long time. And so it's like, I wish it success because that studio just hasn't done anything in a while.
I did like the real scene where they like blew up the door and like a wave of zombies came.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Oh yeah, the original demo. That's a cool moment. But at the same time, again, it was just they're zombies, and so we kind of we feel bored with that. Like you need to do something different with it. Mm-hmm. So again,
pirate zombies.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be the ultimate game for John. And then after Days Gone, we got a little more of God of War. I didn't think that this demo was as compelling as the original one from 2016. But again, we kind of got a better grasp of the world itself. They're clearly showcasing that this is all about the Norse mythology and kind of showing more off the interactions with Kratos and his son. But at the same time, we didn't get like a lot of gameplay. It was just kind of like a 2-minute kind of like story trailer.
The thing that bothers with me is like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Is it part of Is it a full-on reboot? Is it of the – is this the same Kratos?
This is the same Kratos as we've seen. Well, probably the best moment in the trailer is that when he's in this treasure room and there's this vase. And on the vase, there's this image of young Kratos basically fighting the Greek gods. And he's looking at it. And clearly he's like, okay, I think like hundreds of years have passed or something – like decades might have passed or something like that. And where it's like that was – like his old life, and I think he came here to escape it. Hmm. That's why he has a son. That's why he apparently had a wife, although I think they even said that she died.
Yeah, it looks like it.
But I get what I do appreciate about this new game, or what they seem to be showing, is that this is a different type of Kratos, where he's not angry. He's not yelling, you know, Athena, Calliope. It's like, no, he's like, he's trying to take care of his son. And he's like a human being. He's a character for once. And mm-hmm. I think that, to me, that's what makes it interesting. And I like that they've kind of slowed down the combat to a certain extent. It reminds me of maybe a little bit like Dark Souls. I mean, not like difficult like Dark Souls, but just like how the camera
I don't like
angle
the camera.
On his position.
I don't like the camera.
You think it's too close?
It's way too close.
The thing
I see God of War gameplay.
But yeah, someone who just wasn't a fan of that gameplay, it's like, okay, this is more to my liking.
There's also apparently no QTEs in this game.
That's perfect. What the director said. That's even better.
No, I like them.
Because that was so, man. I guess we're on complete opposite sides.
I like QuickTime events, yeah. At least in this franchise. It's the one that made them, so it's fine.
It is true. They're basically the origin of QuickTime events was God of War. Yeah. Although it's kind of interesting, though, because they're dropping that, and they're kind of taking the idea from Last of Us, Game of Shadow Companion.
It's father and son story.
Yeah, so they're basically like, well, we're dropping what we originally pioneered as gaming, and we're going to steal someone else's, because everyone stole ours.
I'll say that. I think, yeah, true, but I think that's
a way to evolve.
So, yeah, the franchise needs to, because...
No, this game has been stagnating.
I don't think it's been stagnating. It's just been in development.
No. The series as a whole.
Oh, no. The series as a whole. Yeah, it has been. I mean, no one played
Ascension.
Yeah. Like, so no one really cares about
that. Yeah, exactly. And now the fact that they're like, we're going to change the location. Finally.
There's so many mythology gods
to beat up. Come on.
He killed all the Greek gods.
Yeah, they're all dead.
To keep the franchise going, they could move on to other mythologies.
Egypt, please. Yep, that'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. India, there's 1,000. There's 1,000 gods there.
Japan, beat up Amaterasu.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, so that's how you keep it going.
Yeah.
And my hope for those for franchise is that they kill Kratos in this game, and you play as his son in the future games. Where it's like, because that'd be perfect. You actually make him a character in this. You learn to care for him, and then he dies.
Then murder him.
Yeah, and then you play as a son who is also a demigod.
I will say that's the most interesting thing about the trailer is the fact that it's revealed that the son can speak multiple languages. Kind of, it can talk to
touch the world serpent, which is part of Norse mythology.
Yeah, so I was just kind of like, okay, who is this son? Mm-hmm. Like, who is the mom? Like, I don't. Yeah. Maybe it's just like I don't care about this Kratos because he does kind of. I know you didn't like the angry Kratos, but it was like loud and chauvinistic. This one is just like, okay, so you're Joel.
Old man Kratos.
I mean, yeah, he is old man Kratos. He's old man Logan, you know, which again, that is Joel.
He's just like, everything about it is just kind of really slow, which is not God of War.
He's Joel without being a psychopath. Mm-hmm. Being super selfish.
I just hope that they bring in the past games in some way.
No, they're going to be referenced. Okay.
That's all I care about.
I do. I think that's definitely going to be there. And probably the biggest surprise of the conference was that Shadow of the Colossus remake.
The biggest thing I think that comes out of this is the fact that they said later on that they're going to give you the option to change the control screen scheme to make it more modern, which is the only thing. Like, I thought about it. I was like, I played Last Guardian. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play this.
No.
And I think that's such a smart move of them kind of taking that feedback and going, okay, yeah, so we got to fix certain parts of this game. And that I think that's why it's like a full-on remake.
No, I think it needs to be. I mean, it does look beautiful.
Yeah.
You know? But it has like a release date of 2018. Yeah. And so we'll see when that comes out. Yeah. Travis, you're a fan of Shadow of the Colossus, right?
Actually, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
No, it's funny. No, it's funny though, because that's actually one of Nick's favorite games.
Okay.
He loves that game to death, and I could never really get into it. On the other hand, I love the Souls games.
Right.
And he hates them. Mm-hmm. And so we're basically hating on each other's games that are the same.
Yeah. They have similar problems.
It's pretty similar games. We're like, nope, we hate each other's games because reasons.
That's funny. I am actually looking forward to learning more about that control scheme. And I'm sure people will still like, oh, the old controls are still bad.
They're bad.
Then play them that way.
Jumping with triangle is the stupidest thing.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
It's in Zelda, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. I hate that, too.
I hate that, by the way. It takes me forever. And it's like, I died because I fell off the goddamn side of the mountain.
You can change it, though, I think.
But they tell? Did they tell me how to
No,
say
I had to dig into that.
See, mm-hmm. first thing, that's a problem.
But
don't make it that
the
way.
Best game to shown at the conference that wasn't Kingdom Hearts is Spider-Man. Officially titled Spider-Man.
Which I think is such a boring title.
I think it's fine. Like, it's whatever. Fine. It's fine.
It's
whatever.
It's like, you know, it doesn't separate itself from any of the other past Spider-Man. It's just Spider-Man. You know, I thought it would have been cool had they actually named it off of one of the original comics.
That would have...
Web of Spider-Man, I think, would have been really fun.
I think that would have...
Wasn't Web of Shadows a game, though?
No,
that's what I was about to say. No, he just got confused.
No, I know they're different, but I'm saying people are going to.
I'm saying like people would have gotten confused like that.
Yeah, and would have been way too easy.
Yeah,
call it Spectacular Spider-Man. Give it something. Give it something that stands out.
No, yeah, like I agree with that, but I can also see from a marketing perspective where Spectacular kind of sounds too childlike,
too 80s,
too I don't know, too bubblegummy, and the game doesn't look that way.
Yeah,
Superior Spider-Man is the only choice.
Superior Spider-Man been a cool name.
It's edgy.
Yeah, it's edgy and. He could have been played as Doc Ock, who possesses Peter Parker's body for some reason. All right, that's
still
stuff.
Could happen.
Yeah,
like DLC size story.
I'm telling you, maybe I did or didn't tell you, but I think with Mr. Negative in there, I think somewhere in the comic line, he makes Peter bad.
Yeah.
And so they also did showcase in the gameplay trailer, Miles Morales is in this universe. So I could easily see, like, why would you showcase him if we don't get to play him once?
Yeah.
I can see Mr. Negative turning Peter bad at some point. And then you play as Miles for a little bit. That's a great way to have your cake and eat it, too.
Maybe you play as multiple Spider-Men in the game. You know, that could be kind of the big hidden feature for it.
That would be cool. Apparently, the white emblem means something.
Which, I'm sorry. Okay, it means something. That's fine. But at the same time, it just doesn't look right.
It looks awkward. I like it.
It's like if you combine the symbiote costume with the classic red and blue. It's just like, it doesn't mesh. If they come up with, like, a narrative reason for it, it's like, okay, fine. But it still doesn't look good to me.
The thing I didn't mention to you guys before, my idea for the narrative reason for it, right?
No, tell us
yours being Dr. Negative, you know, turning him evil, that the spider then turns black.
Right, that's right. Okay, that'd be fine. If that does essentially do that.
It would be a visual key of like, hey, look.
Visual cue.
That's obviously bad now.
Yeah, and the one thing I did actually want to bring up with the game is I think there are a little too many QuickTime events.
Well, see, God of War doesn't have any anymore, so someone had to pick up the slack.
Yeah, Insomniac was like, oh, okay, we're going to use that now. And it's like, okay. At the same time, it's like, yeah, it's something really cool and cinematic is happening in front of me, but... I'm just pressing a button.
Yeah.
It's like, just make it a cutscene at that point. I don't want.
Well, that's always kind of been that's been Insomniac's thing for a while, though. Is that?
No, I wouldn't say that. I actually, you know, having played, I think it's one of the most underrated games of this generation is Sunset Overdrive, where there were so few QuickTime events in that game. I can't remember a particular section where it was QuickTime events where that game required you to move constantly. There was not a moment where you had to stand still. You have to wall grind. You have to jump off. That's where I think the movement for Spider-Man came from, where in Sunset, you'd have to grind in rails. You have to run across buildings. You have to jump on cars and bounce from thing to thing. There was never a moment where it was constantly, or a lot of the times, QuickTime events. And I'm just kind of weirded out by the fact that they have that there.
I will say I am a little bit scared. I'm really excited for this game, but I watched the full gameplay, and it's kind of like, I can see it. It has to feel perfect, but the elements where it moves... Where it basically kind of turns into a closed off Arkham sequence and then open world.
Yes.
I know one of those is going to feel good, but if both of them do, I'm not sure. And I know sometime during the gameplay, Spider-Man kind of hits an enemy off the skyscraper and then webs him back. And I think the director said, you can't kill people by throwing them off the thing. And I was just like, so do we always have to web them, or does it automatically save them if we can't?
I think it's automatic.
And something about that seems like you're going to break the flow.
That's what I was saying. It's going to break the flow, and you'd be like, oh, you end your fighting combo.
Yeah, right. And like you said with QTEs, when Mr. Negative's on the side of the helicopter in that demo, it seems it slows it down a lot, what's happening.
Yeah, it totally does.
And it's just kind of, so I am very scared, but I really just...
It's Insomniac.
I'm still really excited, Insomniac is a developer I do trust.
Same. I want to see more of the game, and hopefully maybe... at this point, they're not going to change anything to that extent, because it's going to come out sometime in 2018, at least it's believed. I mean, at this point, who knows? I just want them to take their time with it. And then the final conference of E3, even though technically it's not part of E3, which is Nintendo's Direct. And I would say this is probably their strongest conference in terms of maybe not games that spoke to me all that much, but I recognized that it was speaking to the right audience at the time. It was showing that our system is going to have a lot of games on it. It's going to have games on it in 2017, one particular big one, but also you have some stuff to look for in 2018 and years later.
Yeah, I think like just kind of looking at the notes here, they didn't give too many details on anything, but they did show that one big game is coming out to finish out the year for sure.
It's the right game.
Yeah. They didn't spend too much time on Splatoon or Pokken ARMS. Like, they didn't waste our time with that because they already showed it earlier. And then, like I said, they showcased that they're showing love to every single one of their main characters.
Yes, yeah, a lot of them at least.
Well, Star Fox?
No, he's had a game recently.
Zero. Okay. That's the death knell right there.
That's no more Star Fox.
You're retired for a little while. Okay. You have to go on the farm for a little while, McLeod. But yeah, they talked about a Pokemon Switch. They just talked about it. They didn't show anything from it because you have, for whatever reason, Sun and Moon Ultra for the 3DS, which games that probably don't need to exist.
Mm. Oh, they were going to do it anyway. Well, it's a common thing.
But so soon after the...
Yeah, it's true. There's usually a longer period.
Yeah, it's not even been a year.
Sometimes there's even different games in between.
I think this move signifies something more. And I think we talked about this on a commentary that'll come out at some point. This is more of a statement in the status of the Switch, that the Switch is officially the console. Like, it is officially the console and the handheld, that the 3DS, this is the last year. We'll probably get some layaway games up until next summer, but there's not another fall full of 3DS games. This is it. And
there probably won't be another version of the DS.
Yeah.
There'll be different versions of the 3DS.
There'll be different versions of the 3DS to squeeze more money, but like, not a 4DS or something like that. This is now Switch territory because Game Freak only makes Pokemon games for the handheld and the fact that they're going to make a new one. And I think it is important that they announced this is for the Switch because it's just saying we're moving on.
I get that.
No, it's gonna sell Switches on its own merit.
When we finally see the game, when it's finally released.
No. I'm pretty sure it's going to sell Switches on its own merit.
I mean, they're going to sell Switches no matter what because people are going to buy it for Zelda and they're going to buy it for Mario Kart and they're going to buy it for Mario. Games that we know exist are going to be coming out soon. With Pokemon Switch, and I've said this multiple times, if you have nothing to show, then don't show it. You know, you can make these announcements, but like, they didn't even have a title card for this thing.
No.
So it's like, guys, come on. There's another particular game which they do kind of something similar to it. It's like, there was not necessary to do that whatsoever.
Well,
and it was very frustrating.
It almost went better because I've already been hearing reports of people getting scammed by having like Amazon, eBay show up with a Switch game called Pokemon Stars.
Well, that's, you know, people just got to be careful with that kind of
thing. Oh, yeah.
But games that at least, they actually had footage for. Moving on to like Kirby Switch, which is going to be a 2018 release. It's a 2.5D Kirby game, and it features a 4-player co-op. I'm not a big Kirby fan, but again, it's just showing that we're going to have a game in 2018 for this. Featuring this character.
Yeah, and like sense. that's just them showing love, and that they're going to continue to go on with Kirby, and that we have something to look forward to in the summer and the spring.
Yeah, actually, Kirby's one of the few Nintendo franchises I really do like to play.
Really?
Yeah. They're fun. I actually just like getting the different elements and stuff and using them.
And this time around, they showed that you can kind of combine multiple elements, which I don't think is something that they've done. Like, you can combine like the powers of one. You can suck up multiple people, basically. You
suck them up and absorb.
I love
like
Kirby.
A blob.
I love Kirby.
He sucks in Super Smash Bros. Because he's too overpowered. But then, similar case with Yoshi. There's going to be a Yoshi Switch game.
They're doing
2.5D.
It looks cute as hell, like all Yoshi games do.
You mentioned it looked like Little Big Planet to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's using a little more cardboard aesthetic.
Yeah,
like I that's kind of cool that Yoshi games are going with an aesthetic, like yarn and then the wool and stuff like that.
They need to because they need to separate themselves from the titles. Because Yoshi's never going to be as big as Mario or any of those other,
he's the AAA sidekick. Characters. He's the sidekick.
He's the sidekick. He's the item that you get that runs really fast. But yeah, then you also have Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Anime! It's definitely a game that's coming out this year.
You got your boob jiggle.
That's all you need, right?
It's necessary. It's actually a requirement.
Yeah.
This is the first checkbox.
Yes. Now, as a tentative late 2017 release date, I think that's going to be pushed.
Yeah.
Because I think they said like December or something. Like, nah, I don't think so.
You mean April?
Yeah, probably. But then the other game, which I was kind of like, why did you talk about this, was Metroid Prime 4. Again, they just showed a title card. No release date, no additional details. It just like...
But it made all their fans salivate.
It's going to come out, maybe. Well,
I think that's important that they show that they still are invested in Metroid. It's more, again, it's just another statement move. I think it's really kind of weird that they're sticking with Prime. Like they're going to make another Prime game.
Gotta get those motion.
It feels more like they didn't know how best to signify we're making another Metroid game, but it's like a first person game. Yeah. And so to them, they're just like, we'll just call it Prime. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like they could have just shown like the little lightning ball symbol and then played a song and then moved on.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just go back to my whole thing. It's like, you have nothing to show, then don't show it. And
that was the only time they did it, though.
You're right. Yeah, but the Pokemon Switch you just talked about, and this, they did the other telecard. But they also had Metroid games there, but they were for the 3DS, those remakes of Metroid 2.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why is this not on the Switch?
Because why is it on the Metroid 2 wasn't on a mainline console either. It was for the Game Boy.
Yep. Yeah, but it's like, again, this is your premier handheld. It's my opinion. They're going to keep the Switch alive, or the 3DS alive, for longer than I think that any of us want it to be. And I think that's a huge mistake. If the 2DS just released a couple months ago, it's just like, okay, why did you produce this thing?
Because they're squeezing the last little bit of this, and they do need to showcase games because they need to sell the 2DS. Mm. And like I said earlier, with the Xbox One and the PS4, it takes 2 years before you start seeing the best of the best and like everyone really invested. So that's why moves like just saying Metroid Prime is something we're starting, Pokemon for the Switch is something we're starting. The Switch is 3-4 months old at this point.
Yeah.
So like you can't expect all of these games to be out and like ready to go.
No, I'm not saying.
But the 3DS is, these games have been in development so far in the future, and like, yeah. I don't know. The only reason we have a Zelda game on the Switch so quickly is because it was actually for the Wii U, and yes, they finished it months before the Switch came out.
A long time ago.
Yeah,
it was ready probably a year ago.
Yeah.
So you are right about that. That is a good point. I concede that.
There we go.
Nintendo is all about the hardware. Like they push hardware. That is their main function. So the fact that they're pushing the 2DS isn't surprising.
Well, it's like they keep pushing hardware, but they've just never been very good at it for most. Like really, like people remember the Wii was
an anomaly
where it's like, yeah, that sold astronomically because they cashed in on the gimmick. But before then, 64 sold less than the SNES.
Mm.
Then the GameCube sold less than the N64. Then you had the Wii, which spiked, and then you had the Wii U, which was their lowest selling console.
But handheld wise, they've been the dominant the whole time.
No, true. Absolutely no. They have the handheld. That's why they have the Switch, because it is basically a handheld at this point. But in terms of like premier console hardware, they've just never really had it.
No.
You know, based on, you know, when you compare it to their competitors, Microsoft and Sony. I'm of the opinion that the reason why people buy like anything Nintendo is not for the hardware, it's for the games.
Yeah.
That people love them because they're a publisher, not because they're a hardware manufacturer. And I'm enjoying the Switch. I have some problems with it, but at the same time, it's like, I just prefer to play on the Xbox One or PS4.
Are you liking it so far?
I like it, but I'm not.
If there was an alternative, you just buy it for the
system. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't. I was like, I wouldn't. I don't feel the need to buy this.
I would buy every single thing for the Switch.
But I think the main problem with Nintendo is that that's why they never have third party supports, because everyone goes like, why would I buy? Oh,
because they treated third party publishers like shit for decades.
Nintendo treats a lot of people like shit.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It's coming back to bite them. And it has been for a while.
Yeah, oh, and it is, because there were since
the Wii.
Yeah, and there were, yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what it really got. Because the last time they had, like, good third-party support was the GameCube, mm-hmm. with their stuff with Capcom and all that. I mean, Resident Evil 4. But yeah, here it's like, no, there was no third-party support at this conference, which I think is a problem. People are just going to buy this for the Nintendo games. And that's what I'm thinking. It's like,
Skyrim.
Before we move on to the last game, how many units do you think of the Switch will sell in its lifetime? I mean, I think it will sell maybe slightly better than the GameCube, maybe around the same like kind of general number.
That's what I was
between
gonna say.
Yeah. 20 and 25 million.
How much is the PlayStation 4 selling to the PS2?
60 million.
Right now?
The PS2, I believe, is like 80 or 90 million.
And how much does the PS4 have now?
20, I forgot. PS 60.
PS4 already has 60?
Yep.
Then Switch is...
Xbox is like 30.
Xbox One only has 30?
That's pretty bad.
One to two, yeah.
How much did the 360 have?
I don't know off the top of my head with that.
I don't know how you knew all of those over here. But I think Switch ends up with like 35.
Really?
30, yeah. Okay. In the 30s.
So that'd be kind of like N64.
Yeah. All right, I can see that.
Travis, what about yourself? What do you think?
It's hard to say. Cause again, it is going to be how much they push these new games.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting these more titles of their stuff that they haven't done for a while, like Metroid, and having that Pokemon game be a biggest thing, you know, like on the biggest platform it's been on, could push it up closer to what he's saying at, you know, 30.
Okay.
Maybe not quite that high, but closer.
Yeah. I think because... Okay, so after 2018, I don't know what the Switch is.
Mm.
I don't know what it does.
Mm-hmm.
But up to next year, I think this year and next year are going to be great years for the Switch.
Yeah.
And that'll get people to buy the console. And it'll sell all its wares right then. It's not going to have a long life. Like, it's not going to keep getting bought because you're right, I don't see any third-party support. And unless Nintendo has been working with these people already to, like, backlog, like, hey.
Ubisoft, Mario plus Rabbids.
Like, well, which is a positive sign. I think Nintendo is showing signs of bending now.
Yeah.
They're finally like, okay, you can have this, but please give us this. And, like, let's try and collaborate. The fact that they got an iPhone game now is a big deal, a much bigger deal than I think a lot of people think. And it's showing that Nintendo is more aware of what they need to do if they want to survive.
Yeah.
And
it's a starting point, I think.
Next year's E3 is going to be the make or break thing for the Switch for me, because it'll show, did you cut deals this year? Did you cut deals this year so that 2019 and 2020 actually have games?
Yeah.
Because they're throwing all of their stuff out there so quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a mainline Mario, which we're about to talk about, and a mainline Zelda in the same year.
Which is, that's unheard of.
Yeah. And a Mario Kart, another Mario Kart, and we're bound to have
support.
I guess, yeah, but like, we've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got all the main shows within a year and a half.
Yep.
So, but what happens after that? And it feels more like Nintendo's like, hey, we're going to push everything we have this first year.
Mm.
And then, like, the first year and a half. And then after that, we've got to show people that we worked the back end deals. And I don't think we'll see that until next year's E3.
Yeah. I do think that we're going to see even more ports of Wii U games.
Which is fine. I think.
Treasure Tracker, I think that's going to be a game that's going to be ported.
That's okay.
Anything, really.
I think that's okay because there were some quality Nintendo games on the Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah, there were.
But no one bought them.
Yeah, because no one wanted to just play that terrible system.
Yeah, it was bad hardware.
Yeah, but moving on from just the Switch in general, or just, you know, the Wii U and all that, the console, the hardware stuff, is that finally Mario Odyssey. Again, it's coming out this October. Head month's going to be vicious. We're going to just claw at each other's throats for that. I'm very interested who's going to come out on top. But yeah, it was kind of a gameplay segment. They showed off Cappy, Mario's hat, which apparently can possess animals, people, and inanimate objects. Basically, you know, bend them to your will.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Like, they had a T-Rex in there. It's like...
That was crazy.
It was crazy, but it's like, that's really unique.
The game is going full-on weird.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love that... It seems like the only downside to Cappy to me is, where do suits now really rank?
Yeah.
In the sense, if Mario can possess whatever in this game, then I don't know. I really love Bumblebee Mario and Spring Mario. I like, those are all really fun and cool. And he did show off new suits and everything, but they seem more world specific.
And, yeah, like a sombrero, John. Yeah. You're going to wear that all the time, right?
That's right. Hey. But I this game feels very much like, I think I watched some gameplay and they talked about Kingdoms. That's a very much a Super Mario 64 thing.
Yeah.
And if that's what we're getting for the Switch, then I'm all on board for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to see what this game can be. And I there's not a bad mainline Nintendo game. I don't really think there is. Or a mainline Mario game. Except
there's
Sunshine.
So many that
except Sunshine.
I can't remember. I mean, I thought it was okay at the time. But there's just so many Mario games. But I will say, my one criticism of Odyssey, at least what they showed, is that the game does, in certain sections, look really empty and just kind of cheap looking. And they keep showcasing New Donk City.
And it's the worst.
Worst. This doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you showcase, like, again, Mario's cartoony.
Yeah.
It the game looks colorful. Great when it's a really colorful cartoony. And then you're showcasing this gray.
New Donk City looks like Sims.
Yeah, the human character looks like... It looks like
Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, or Sonic 06 on
the that's not what PS3. You want to be compared to.
Yeah.
But you go to the Egypt lands, or you go to the cotton candy fields, or whatever the fuck they are. It's like, those look cool. Mm-hmm. Those look fun and bubbly and Mario.
Yeah, Mushroom Kingdom-esque.
Yeah, and that's what I want. I don't want to be in New Donk City.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that's the name.
I wonder if that's a hub world. You know?
That's fine. That'd be okay. I think I could deal with that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Ooh, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Like the little like street posters are in essence are your worlds.
Oh.
The little advertisements and stuff. Yeah, cuz like smart. I think one of the things is like Cappy Land or something, isn't there? Is it?
Okay.
And I think that's where you run into Cappy. That's definitely something it could be.
It could be.
I'm down with it.
I don't know, like you said, I actually didn't think of it until you brought it up, was the fact that, yeah, what other powers are you going to have? Are you going to have, like, the fireball? Because they've already shown multiple times in the trailer of, like, him using Cappy as a weapon.
Yeah.
And having it be a ranged attack. And I'm like, okay, what else do you need then? I mean, that's a pretty strong ability.
Yeah. So, but again, it's, I trust Nintendo to have really committed to Cappy.
Yeah.
Have level designed the hell out of everything so that it takes full advantage of Cappy.
It seems to be blending elements of both Super Mario Galaxy and Super Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool. Again, my only problem with what they've showed is the stuff in New Donk City. Everything else I think looks great, and I am excited to play the game. And that kind of just brings an end to the conferences, and you know, as we went along, we add up all of our wonderful little points from all of our predictions, and I'm just going to say right now,
I win!
Yes. Travis, you win. Thank you for being such a wonderful guest.
Well, I'm here for.
Yes, we appreciate it. But actually,
You can just leave it on that. You have to rub it in. Huh?
I won. I made the most accurate predictions for E3 because, as we all know, I'm a video game connoisseur. I understand the industry.
If we're being real, it's just because he was very general in his release dates.
Yeah, John, like, you had the whole thing where you went like predictions.
I was
like,
going for the biscuit
of the month.
I was going for the biscuit.
Yeah, you guys gotta say the season and the year, man.
The only one I got correct, like with that sort of thing, was the Scorpio first week of November.
Yeah.
That was the only one I guessed.
But yeah, and then the only thing that, I mean, I made some mistake. I was completely wrong a bunch of stuff, particularly with the EA conference, because I guess I had higher expectations, even though I know I probably shouldn't have. But then also, I think I kind of mess up a number of the Sony predictions, because I thought like at least one of those games is going to come out in 2017.
Yeah, which now I'm just kind of like, what does Sony have in 2017? That's like really big.
It doesn't matter at this point because they're
so far in the lead.
Yeah, they're in the lead, and they have at least one big game come out this summer.
Yeah,
that we're going to play. That's and true. Everyone's playing a lot of the third party games
on the PS4. They're like Call of Duty and Destiny. I think all of them are being showcased as PS4 games over the one, and I think that's a big deal.
Actually, thank you for bringing up Call of Duty World War II, because you finally reminded me of what I wanted to mention. Apparently, that game will not have any swastikas in it, because it could potentially offend some people.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
Wait, and, what?
Yep, in Call of Duty World War II, there will be no swastikas in the game.
So they're doing alternate history.
Apparently,
yeah. That's something that should
potentially offend someone.
That's something that they should put on the front of the box then. It's an alternate history.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry. That's like...
No, don't be sorry.
You should be not sorry. That's ridiculous.
That is...
What? What are you doing? And then you compare to Wolfenstein, the New World Order.
And Far Cry.
Oh, I know, yeah. So, they have no balls.
They have... Because they... Battlefield gave them a big hit. They're really scared. And they know a large portion of their audience is probably a bunch of assholes. A bunch of racist... And bigotry people, like, they know that. I play Call of Duty, and I know. Well, like, it's, if Call of Duty is the most casual and the most easy for anyone who's essentially a gamer to play, they've got such a wide net, and they are scared to get rid of any of that net, and that is bad. That is wrong.
Those alt-right people are playing those Call of Duty games. It's just so weird, and it's just like, yeah, then it's like, it just turns me off to the game. It's like, I'm not going to bother.
It's insulting.
Yeah, it's just like, if you can only even... You are fighting Nazis in World War II. That happened, guys. You can't ignore that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what they... At this point, are they going to like just ignore all the atrocities that were committed in the game? Is it just like, oh no, the Germans, they had a point.
It was laughing gas the whole time.
Laughing gas.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Can we please wrap it up?
I think we'll wrap it up, and we should go into plugs. And you know, usually John and I will go into plugs first, but Travis, you are a special guest, so you get to plug yourself first.
Okay, I will plug it up then. Again, I am Travis with the UGO podcast. You can find us at Unapologetic Geek Out.
It's hard to say.
It is hard. It's usually not to say it this fast. .com. Find us on iTunes, same name. Find us our YouTube channel at UGO Podcast, same with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, our Gmail is unapologeticgeekout.com at gmail.com. Feel free to email us, ask us for any sort of requests. You can check out our full episodes, our Let's Plays, and our Netflix and Kills, which are actually coming back. So
come check that stuff with us, you know? It's a great time.
You guys are producing a lot of content.
And yeah, so you guys
like,
are doing a lot.
And the thing is, I'm like, I'm so jealous. I'm just like, fuck, I want to produce as much content as them, but we just can't. But yeah, I mean, really, I'm a fan. I've been listening to you guys for a while, ever since our first interview, I think, back in, September or October, just when we had that whole Mass Effect talk, which was so enjoyable.
Which, sorry, I actually couldn't make the second one.
Oh, no, I mean, that's totally fine. But again, I mean, yeah, I really just love the fact you guys are producing so much content.
We're trying.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, what you also you were at that convention this week as well.
We were at ASIN last month. We have our convention is going to be this weekend,
right?
So in the next couple of months, expect just a lot of just interviews and content from us. We're barely going to have our regular episodes because we have so much from this Austin trip, just meeting all of these great podcasters.
It's fantastic.
Great. And, you know, just all the people we're going to meet at the convention as well.
Cool. Yeah, I can't wait to see all that content. And, of course, with We Are Error, you can find us on oneofus.net. But you can also find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. And you can also follow us on Twitter at We Are Errorcast. And you can follow me at Chris J. Herman.
And I am at _ John Romo. No H, because that is for losers.
Mm-hmm. No, H is great. I always appreciate that letter.
But I do want to go ahead and plug. We've got a commentary coming out very soon. A crossover episode between Yu-Gi-Oh! And WWE for Mortal Kombat, the 1995 video game film. I honestly, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And recording that commentary with you and Nick, Travis, was really great.
Oh, so, yeah.
We're drinking. Getting progressively, drunk. As it went along, it's making all horrible time. Racist jokes. Yeah. At least that was me.
So before we leave, who was the winner of E3? Do you honestly think? Do you think there was a winner? Oh. I think it's Nintendo.
No, I agree with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Nintendo did, even though I have some problems with the conference itself, they did everything right. They showcased one of the biggest games that's going to come out in 2017, which is Mario Odyssey. The fact that that's coming out in the fall, perfect. They showed why you should own a Switch in terms of we have games planned for 2018. And, you know, again, even though I'm not the biggest fan of how they showcased Metroid Prime 4 or Pokemon Switch, at least they said, we are working on these games because we know people really want them. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, they won.
I think they feel I should have technical knockout because they weren't actually part of E3. It was Nintendo Direct.
Sure. I mean, at this point, I mean, yeah, you have two big publishers or, you know, console manufacturers. No, publishers who say they're not, but they actually are. Mm-hmm. It's just like, come on.
Guys, especially stuff like the PlayStation Experience.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're all going to be in the same building but in different rooms. Yeah, that's what E3 is, guys. Yeah. Come on. What is this?
Mario!
Here we go, off the rails. Don't you know it's time to raise our sails? It's freedom like you never knew. In fact, or a pass, say a word, I'll be there in a flash. You could say my hat is off to you.
Time to step up your boom!